So this miracle might sound pretty familiar to many of us because Jesus had already fed a large crowd earlier in Mark of 5,000. But whilst this reading of 4,000 people has many similarities, it leads a few people to think that this might be the same event that Mark is recording. But actually, if you go further on in Mark chapter 8, you'll see that Jesus himself speaks about two very different events in Mark 8, verses 19 and 20. And actually, when we kind of look at it afresh, we can see that there are some important differences. First of all, at the beginning of Mark chapter 7, we're told that Jesus was in the Decapolis region, which meant that it's probably likely that whilst the crowd in the feeding of the 5,000 were primarily a Jewish crowd, it seems that here, this crowd were primarily Gentiles. But also in verse 2 of this feeding of the 4,000, Jesus says something very interesting. He says, "I have compassion for these people. I have compassion for these people." And it's interesting because often in the Gospels we read that Jesus had compassion. But very rarely does Jesus give us an insight as to how he is feeling. He very rarely expresses his feelings firsthand. So by doing so, I think Jesus gives his disciples then and us a glimpse into his heart. And the word that Jesus chooses to use for the word for compassion means to feel something deep within us. And as Jesus says these words, it reminds us that God is a God of compassion and love. It's one of his defining attributes. And the Old Testament reminds us often that God is a God of compassion. It helps us to remember that when we are struggling or in pain, that Jesus feels and knows our pain and struggles too, is with us in the suffering. God never gets tired of expressing his love and compassion towards us daily. But I wonder whether we truly believe that in our lives. You know, so often when we've been in church for a long time, we can hear things and we kind of, yeah, they're true. But actually, do we truly believe them and live them out? Truly believe that God cares for us all of the time? Because sometimes we can feel unworthy. Sometimes we can't see how God is caring for us. But actually what we see here echoes the whole of what Scripture says. Actually, God is a compassionate and a caring and a loving God towards us. But I wonder why Jesus has compassion on this crowd. In other words, these people don't do anything to draw out Jesus' compassion. They didn't give him anything, were not told that they particularly worshipped him or served his kingdom in any way. But what they did do was that they stayed or they remained with Jesus even when they ran out of food. In the original, the word for stay or remain means more than simply just being somewhere. It means that they paid great attention to Jesus. As we read Mark's gospel, you'll find that Mark is not always very complimentary towards crowds, except in this situation. The reality is that we often find it hard to remain with Jesus for even just a few minutes. I wonder how many of us have kind of left Jesus because our tummies are rumbling and we've got starving bellies and go and find some food. Or maybe our phone beeps and we think it's more important than spending time with Jesus. Something catches our eye or our mind or in our mind or our ear and we turn away from him. But these people were willing not only to journey to a remote place to find Jesus, but they stuck with him even when their bellies were rumbling. And I wonder whether that's the type of heart that gets Jesus' attention. And it's them that they receive a miracle. Let's go back. And if you were here last week, compare this crowd to the crowd in Jesus' hometown, who were full of unbelief and were told Jesus didn't do any miracles there. I'm guessing that with this crowd, it was their spiritual hunger that was greater than their physical hunger. That they were getting something from Jesus that they knew they hadn't experienced and couldn't get from anybody else. And that is what moved Jesus to have compassion or to express his compassion for them. But as Jesus expresses his compassion and wants to feed the crowd, the disciples respond, where in this remote place can anybody get enough bread to feed these people? I don't know about you, but when you hear that question, I don't know if you want to scream at the disciples. Have you really forgotten about the feeding of the 5,000 that happened just a couple of chapters before? Even when we account for the passing of time before the feeding of the 5,000 for this one here, even if we account for the fact that this was a Gentile crowd and maybe the disciples hadn't grasped that Jesus was for everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, actually the disciples' response is shocking. They had seen and experienced firsthand, been part of Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding 5,000 people. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that that's not something that we might forget in the matter of a couple of months, even though they'd seen many miraculous healings and miracles. We just want to go to the disciples and we're like, duh, what's going on, guys? Until we actually remember that so often we forget God's provision for us. We forget what he's done in the past. I wonder whether their question gives insight into often our own attitudes and lack of faith towards God. Whether we can see ourselves in the disciples and their question here. Jesus answered that prayer a few months ago, but we find it easy to forget. He provides for us time and time again in the big things and also, as we thought in the family talk about, the smaller things. We can see that he's taken care of us. He's got us through those valley experiences and he's rescued us in the most amazing way through Jesus. We maybe can say verbally all that God can do, yet when we find ourselves in a crisis or a fix, we often try to sort it out ourselves. We often seem to factor God out of the equation and treat God's voice as just one of many in our heads and in the situation. Read the Old Testament and we will see that the nation of Israel struggled with this time and time and time again. They forgot the miraculous past provision that God had given them. And when they came to a situation, they looked round for every other solution rather than focusing upon God. We forget so quickly as they did. I wonder whether forgetfulness in terms of what God has done for us is a big struggle and weakness for many of us who follow Jesus that we struggle with. If you read on, I'd encourage you to read the end of Mark chapter 8 when you get home. But if you read on later in the chapter, Jesus chides his disciples for their slowness to understand. And he asks them the question, don't you remember? Don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000 when it came to this situation? I genuinely believe that actually what God has done in the past not only equips us for the present, but also gives us hope and security for future challenges. So often we go through things in the past and sometimes we can't understand those things. But maybe they are God's way of equipping us for the present and the future, and maybe not just for our own lives, but so that we can use that wisdom and all we've gone through to support and encourage other people. Somebody called it faithful remembering. Faithful remembering, a discipline which is often neglected today. And I would say that is true for us, not just as individuals, but actually there is a part for us to play corporately in faithful remembering. If you go to some of the Psalms, Psalm 106, 136, actually we have that sense of God's people coming together to be faithfully remembering all that God has done in order to encourage and equip them for the present. There is something about remembering, looking back, about retelling the stories of God's faithfulness in the past that spiritually fills us up in the present and strengthens us for whatever the future might hold individually and for us as a church. And so today, God invites each one of us to continue to faithfully remember. But the great thing about this feeding of the 4,000 people is that Jesus doesn't write off the disciples, despite their lack of faith and despite the fact that they hadn't remembered or didn't seem to. Jesus asked them to provide the food. It wasn't the little boy, as it was in the feeding of the 5,000, who gave his lunch, but the disciples who give it to Jesus. And of course, from the disciples' perspective, it wasn't very much. Just 7 loaves, not just big loaves that you might go to Asda. There's lots of loaves of bread, actually, different varieties of bread, but not like massive loaves of bread that we get today. They were like kind of, the loaves they had in those days were like flat pancakes or kind of pita bread they would have had. So they had 7 loaves and just a few fish amongst them. It didn't seem to make a dent in a crowd of this size. Yet Jesus takes it, he multiplies it, and then he gives it back to the disciples in order for them to distribute. Jesus still includes the disciples in as part of this miracle, despite their lack of remembering and faithlessness. It's a great reminder for us, isn't it? That God doesn't give up on us. We might look at faithful remembering and think we're really lousy at it, but God knows that we are learning and growing, and he still wants us to be part of his work. He calls us to have compassion towards others and also to offer the little bit that we have in order that Jesus might multiply it. We don't need a lot in order to make a big difference when Jesus is using what we have. Because the reality is that Jesus is still compassionate today. He still looks at the crowds of people in our world and says, I have compassion on these people. He wants to feed a spiritually hungry world. It's part of his ongoing miracle today. But he wants to use us in order to do that. Jesus blesses what we offer to him, what he's given us, and we give it back. And he makes it completely sufficient for what he asks each one of us to do for each day. To take what we offer and to make it sufficient for the people that we meet and the compassion we need to show today. At the beginning of the service, we used a responsive reading from Colossians, which reminds us that we are called each day to clothe ourselves with compassion. It's one of the things that we spoke about. So we see the compassion and provision of Jesus. But lastly, we notice, as a result of Jesus' compassion, Mark tells us the people ate and were satisfied. The people ate and were satisfied. And not only them, but we're told the disciples picked up 7 full baskets of leftovers. The word that is used here in Mark's gospel for baskets is not some kind of small little baskets that we might think of. Actually, it's the same word that Luke uses in the book of Acts when the apostle Paul is lowered down over the wall in a basket. So in other words, these were man-sized baskets and the disciples collected seven of them. So they began with seven small loaves. All the people were fed and they ended up with seven large baskets for food, bread and fish left. That is an example of what Jesus can do with all that we offer to him. And I don't want us to miss, and if you need any explanation, ask Olivia and Resdy, because they know about all about seven being the perfect number. We're going through Genesis and picking up. So they're the world experts on seven and why it is biblically fullness and perfection in the Bible. So the fact that seven is recorded here in this event should make us think about fullness and perfection. It's a reminder for us that Jesus doesn't just satisfy, but he abundantly and perfectly satisfies each of us when we come to him. This miracle met the physical needs of the people, but of course it points to a greater truth that through Jesus we can be eternally satisfied. Jesus sent these people away full, but he knew that it was a fullness that wouldn't last forever. This moment, this chapter, is pivotal in the Gospel of Mark, because from here on in, Jesus begins his slow journey towards the cross. The deepest meaning of this miracle is not the bread and the fish that the people ate that day, but it's actually the satisfaction and the meaning and the miracle of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus came and said, "I am the bread of life," and promises this: "Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." It's a great promise, a reminder not just for ourselves, but as we go out into the world, as we can see people who are spiritually hungry, we know that we have, through all that God gives us to multiply, the fact that Jesus can satisfy our needs and the needs of those around us. So I'd encourage you to take that into our week as we go out this week.